Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
3, 2, 1. That's right. When you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From beautiful Huntington Beach, California, on the HealthyLife.net radio network, heard in all 50 states and 135 countries, all positive talk radio all the time. Welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, at caregiverdave.com. Coming to you live and on demand, 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 30 global audio and video platforms, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, too many to list. In fact, we're proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast on Player FM of the top 50. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Bill Williams, lately known and loved for his funny thoughts for today. Bill was a military brat growing up in the Air Force bases and going to 13 schools before graduation. He has a BA and an MA in broadcasting and journalism. He's taught at five universities. His own communications consulting firm in Washington, D.C. for 20 years, producing a number of award-winning films and video productions. Much of that work was disaster-related and when FEMA was created, way back. And he was asked to be the agency's first director of news and information handling things like Three Mile Island, Mount St. Helens, the Cuban refugee boat lift, and dozens of floods, hurricanes, tornadoes. When he got tired of that, he got licensed as a financial advisor. And we'll learn more about that. But first, I want to take this moment to thank my last week's guest, Annie McCoon, talking about how caregiving can be isolating and lonely, and can genuine hospitality help? Just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews, including the ones we're doing today, on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of our other 30 global networks that I mentioned earlier. Okay, enough of that. Bill, welcome to the Caregiver Dave Show. We're so excited to have you on.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
I always like to ask my guests, just who is Bill Williams and why was he placed on God's green earth?
Well, a lot of people have asked that question, including myself. But right now I look at my role as being somebody who can bring a smile or a laugh to folks who might need it. And I know a lot of the folks that you deal with are in that situation. So maybe we can help and brighten some people's day.
That's right. How did that start for you? I mean, you didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to be funny today.
No, really it wasn't. Back in the 90s, I had a sales staff that was spread over the Midwest. And if you remember back in the 90s, if you wanted to get in touch with somebody, you had to call them on a pager. They had to look for a payphone, see if they had enough quarters in their pocket to complete the call. Email came out, and all of my folks had email, but nobody ever read it because it was something new. They didn't know what was going on. So I decided to entice them with a thought for the day. Typically, it was something funny, maybe something inspirational, and something important for the business. And so they started reading their email. And the funny things, they started sharing with their clients. And the clients said, that's great. Could we get on the list? So email didn't have postage, so no problem. We could add people to the list. And that was 30 years ago. And today I've got people all over the U.S., most of whom I've never met. I've got people in Europe. I've got people in Australia. I've got people in India. So it seems to have stuck because people seem to be continuing to read my stuff.
And well, now... you've got so much material. You do it every day. Where do you get the material for your emails?
Well, it started off with me digging through books and finding this and that. But eventually people started saying, hey, here's something you might want to use, and people started making contributions, and it got to the point where I had more than I could handle. And right now I've probably got 1,000 contributions that I have never used yet. So
more than a lifetime, I would say.
Huh? More than a lifetime, absolutely right.
And some of them are funny, some of them are serious, some of them are thought-provoking.
Some of them are historical, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
The humor comes in as the most popular thing, so I use mostly in that vein.
So you've been doing this for 30 years, really?
It started about 1995.
How is it that I just recently found you? My gosh. So still have new people coming on board.
I still have new people coming on board. I've got a website where people anywhere can, you know, sign up for it, and it still costs nothing.
Will you mind if I ask just how many people are on your email list?
Well, right now I've got about 700, I believe.
700?
You know.
That'll keep you busy.
Yet, like I say, I've never made a dime on it because I just do it because I enjoy doing it. But I decided to get greedy and see if I could make some money with it. So I'm publishing a book coming out in January.
Is that working?
It's 20 years of internet humor. And it actually will probably be the first in about 12 or 15 volumes because I've got so many things to add to it.
Yeah, for the people who still don't do email. I do email, but you know, they figured out how to send me spam, and I don't even read a lot of my email because it's just so much spam, and I was using texts on my phone. And now the political people figured out how to send political spam, so now I got to turn my notification off of that, otherwise it'd be beeping every minute. So I don't know. I don't know how to stop that. If I could figure out how to stop the spam, I guess I could make $1 million.
Yeah, I'd buy into the program, I promise.
Uh-huh. So email is still free? Doesn't cost you anything to send them out?
Well, it started costing me to send them out because as the list grew and the new spam regulations came out, I had to go with an internet sender. I'm using MailChimp to send it out now, and yeah. So at the current rate, it's not costing me a lot, you know, $40 a month, something like that. So no big deal.
Well, there needs to be new regulations because the spam continues to come, doesn't it?
It does indeed. On the other hand, when I was just sending it through Outlook, I had discovered that a bunch of the internet providers, most recently Gmail, would interrupt and say, hey, I'm spamming, even though there's a notice on there that says these were requested.
So we have time. Can you give me an example of a funny one?
Oh, yeah. One that's been very popular is in the book is entitled Animal Crackers. It's because a mother, let's call her Jennifer, and her son Jimmy were shopping at a grocery store, and they got through and they came home, and Jimmy had grabbed the bag of groceries and ran into the kitchen and dug through it, came out with a box of animal crackers. Opened the box and started spreading them out all over the kitchen table. And his mother said, Jimmy, what are you doing? And he said, well, Mom, when I got the box, it said, you do not eat them if the seal is broken, so I'm looking for the seal.
That is, I would equate that to those corny jokes that you hear in grade school, but it did get a chuckle out of me. Are you still involved in photography and film production?
No. I got out of that, and one of the reasons that I moved into financial planning was simply because I had invested a whole bunch of equipment in film and still photography, and then Kodak went out of business, and everything became digital. And I said, I don't want to start over, because I realized I knew all sorts of things about black and white and color photography while using film. But digital was a whole new world, so I might as well change careers and get into something else.
Yeah. So, as I said before, in addition to funny thoughts, you've got some serious and thought-provoking thoughts, right?
Right.
So give me a couple examples of some of those, some that might be of interest to a caregiver who's having a bad day and they're burned out and they need to have a distraction.
Well, On a cold day in December many years ago, a little boy about 10 years old was standing on the street in front of a shoe store, barefooted, peering through the window and shivering with cold. A lady approached the young boy and said, "My, but you're in such deep thought staring in that window." "Well, I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes," was the boy's reply. The lady took him by the hand, went into the store, and asked the clerk to get a half dozen pairs of socks for the boy. She then asked if he could bring her a basin of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her, and she took the little fellow to the back part of the store and removed her gloves, knelt down, washed his little feet, dried them with a towel. By this time, the clerk had returned with the socks. Placing a pair on the boy's feet, she bought him a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pair of socks and gave them to him and patted him on the head and said, "No doubt you'll be more comfortable now." As he turned to go, the astonished kid caught her by the hand and, looking up into her face with tears in his eyes, said, "Are you God's wife?"
Have you ever been a caregiver?
I am. I'm currently a caregiver.
You are a caregiver.
I am a caregiver. My wife is having some internal problems and had knee surgery over a year ago that hasn't healed, and so I'm doing things on a regular basis and taking her to doctor's appointments and helping around the house and doing those kinds of things. So I know the story.
Is there any hope that that operation is going to finally work out, or does she need another one? Or?
Well, the operation will eventually work out. She's had a number of different doctors who say it's just taking time. Some people heal more slowly than others. Mm. But she also has internal problems that they don't really have an answer for.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the knee.
Has nothing to do with the knee.
Does she need the surgery on the other knee one day, or has she had that?
She has not done that, and she says she will not do that.
I got a wife like that. No more doctors, no more hospitals, no more nursing homes. Let nature take its course.
I understand.
Well, have you ever been burned out with your caregiver duties?
I am fortunate that I have friends and daughters who can come in occasionally, give me some respite. And that's one of the things that anybody who is in this kind of a situation definitely needs is some respite care to be able to get away for a day or two.
So you're able to do that, put your oxygen mask on first, et cetera, and you have a lot of help.
Right, right.
That is so necessary, you know. Do you find yourself eating right? You know, a lot of caregivers who are burned out, the first thing that goes, you know, I use the CARE acronym, C-A-R-E. You know, they stop communicating with friends, you know, like if they had a weekly date with a guy, you know, that they would go work out or go to the movie or go fishing or go have coffee. They stop doing that, and they start, you know, isolating themselves. Or A, they don't eat right. I'm trying to do this in the proper order, but I can't remember what A is. Oh, ask for help. But you're obviously doing that. You're asking for help. And the R is rest. You know, caregivers need 8 hours rest every single night, but the average caregiver only gets maybe 2 or 3. I can't survive on that. And E, finally, is eat healthy food. Don't eat junk food. You know, junk food's got the chemicals, processed ingredients, sugar, all that stuff will kill you. So any of that stuff still going on, or have you really controlled all that?
Well, I do make it a point to go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. Good. But I do it, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, because that's the time nobody else is around all that much.
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, huh?
Well, there's some creatures out there that are stirring, but I guess, gee whiz, it's been about 8 years ago I went on a diet, because I was somewhat chunky.
Really?
And lost about 80 pounds.
Wow, that's a lot.
And so I have been watching my weight ever since to keep it where it is, because I'm happy where I am. And
how did you take it off, and how long did it take you?
Took me about 4 years, and I just basically decided I was going to keep to about a 2,000-calorie diet. Kept track of what I was eating. And if I wanted to go out and have a big piece of pie, I'd have one, but then I wouldn't have something else tomorrow.
They just counted calories and portions.
That's it.
Was it hard to do that in the beginning? Because, you know, we're creatures of habit, right?
It wasn't my favorite thing, but I got used to it. And I'm still...
Lifestyle now.
Yeah, very much so.
Is your wife in good shape, too? Is she as healthy as you, I should say, other than the things you already mentioned?
She would like to lose about 40 pounds. But she doesn't have... She is on a very, very restricted diet, so... It's not like she can eat many things, so.
Sure. Wow. Well, listen, we're almost up on a break. Let's go ahead and take it a little early. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and Caregiver Dave.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Back. I'm Dave Nassani, Caregiver Dave Show. My guest, Bill Williams. We're talking about caregiving, and he actually cares for his wife. And I want to keep talking about that, Bill.
Sure.
They say that, you know, caregiving a spouse, like caregiving my spouse, isn't the same thing as caring for a child or for, you know, a cousin or a brother. Do you agree with that? And if so, why? It has its, complication.
I'm sure it does, and I can't speak from personal experience because I haven't found myself in a caregiver situation for others, other than the situation that I'm in now. But I certainly would imagine that it would be different. And I know a lot of folks who have parents or friends in nursing homes and what they are having to go through because, unfortunately, and I've dealt with a number of nursing homes through my financial planning business, but I find that in many cases they're not really all they've cracked up to be or should be.
Right.
And some people have to provide more personal help than they expected when they got into that situation.
Yes, yes. So I can speak from experience because, you know, a lot of times as a caregiver, I know what's, I think I know what's best for my wife. And she doesn't always agree with me.
Boy, I can identify with that. Absolutely.
And I try to tell her, you know, I know it's your decision, it's your body and all that stuff, but your decisions affect me, you know. If, you know, I want you to go to the bathroom, you know, right before bedtime and you say no, I mean, it reminds me of a 2-year-old. No, I don't have to go, you know, and then you have an accident. I says, you know, if you have an accident, I mean, I'm the guy that has to clean it up. So, you know, this is a community effort here. You know, it's not, I tell her, it's not just all about you. And she's still trying to grasp that thought, you know, but, that makes it difficult because, you know, she's your wife. You gotta live with her. You know, she still cooks and stuff like that. And, you know, they have ways of communicating their,
displeasure.
Displeasure. That's the word I was looking for. But I guess that doesn't happen with you.
No, of course not.
So can you give some caregivers some advice who are struggling with burnout? I mean, apparently you've got a pretty good relationship. How do you convince your wife to do things that maybe she doesn't want to do? Or maybe you lose that battle too. I don't know.
I was going to say, if you can tell me how I can convince her to do things she doesn't want to do, I would welcome the opportunity to try it out.
You know, when she disagrees, my logic is, okay, she's 80 years old. She's been living in this broken body. She had a stroke. She lost her speech, paralyzed one side. But she's an excellent communicator non-verbally. Pictionary, charades, the games I hate, by the way. But I'm still learning to love. But, you know, it's hard to argue with her when, like even now, you know, she just wanted to see a doctor and, you know, I can't blame her. You know, I'm sure I wouldn't be doing as well as she's doing if I was in her position. But it's like, okay, you know, I've been living in this broken body for 28 years and I'm ready to go meet Jesus. And, you know, I like 2 Diet Cokes a day. You tell me they're not healthy. They have stuff that'll kill brain cells. Well, I already got brain cells. You know, this is one of the few pleasures I have. Just leave me alone, you know. And that's an argument I can't really argue with. How about you?
Well, I can't argue with it either. And, you know, I'm very fortunate in that my wife is mobile. Okay. She is not having difficulties with activities of daily living. But, you know, getting out, she can drive, but she'd rather not. So when she needs to go someplace, I'm the chauffeur and I have no problems with that. I enjoy it. So I'm very fortunate in that, my duties as a caregiver are not nearly as onerous as many people are facing.
Yeah, and I feel the same way because my wife is very independent. She can cook, she can clean, she can do the laundry, she can do all these things, in a wheelchair, power wheelchair. You know, and, she just makes normal people look like whiners and complainers because people look at her and they say, oh my gosh, look at all she's doing. She's a smile on her face. What am I complaining about? So she's a great encourager. We've traveled the world in that wheelchair. It's actually easier to travel with her because I can put all the baggage on the back of the chair and she, you know, I don't have to push her. She motorizes it itself. We get to the front of the lines wherever we go, you know, so I enjoy traveling with her and we've been everywhere. You know, we've been on 10 cruises. And so, my duties are not as bad as some of the people on my Facebook page. I got 34,000 people who go on there and they share their experiences. And a lot of times, you know, I have to try to act not shocked by what someone's going through, you know, because I don't want to feel, you know, intimidated or anything like their problem is bigger than anybody else's. But, I'm grateful and I'm blessed that, I don't have it worse than others. So, and that's always a good strategy, you know, but however bad you think you have it, believe me, you can find somebody who's got it in worse shape, is in worse shape than you are. I'm sure you would agree.
I definitely agree.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the other things you have done because you have an amazing past. You were involved in Washington and politicians you know, that's such a dirty business. And there's so many good people that are not in politics because, you know, Ben Franklin said, evil men rule and good men do nothing. But I'm a good man, and I wouldn't mind, you know, going to Washington like Mr. Smith goes to Washington and try to straighten things out the way Trump is trying to. But, man, I can't put up with all the stuff they throw at him, you know. And, in fact, I don't know a man alive who would still be standing with what they've thrown at him. And they just don't like good people out there, do they? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with this politics?
Well, I will have to say that I was back there between 70 and 90, okay, that 20-year period.
It was just slightly better than it is today.
I would have to say it was significantly better than it is today. And when I've gone back to D.C. to visit friends and all, I'm thinking to myself, gee, I'm just really glad I'm not here anymore, okay? Because I met a lot of very, very responsible people. I worked with the Carter administration. And Jimmy Carter was a marvelous guy.
Yeah, he's the only Democrat I ever voted for, by the way.
Okay. Well, I worked with George H.W. Bush, another absolute gentleman. Yeah. I knew Hubert Humphrey. Yeah. And, you know, some of these people, one of my favorite politicians was George Connally, who was governor of Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was with Kennedy when he was shot.
Was shot, yeah.
And John Connally was one of the most intelligent and true gentleman that I've ever met. And I do remember one time I was directing a TV show in Austin. It was for the public television. They were doing a network show. And he came in with his wife, Nellie, who was another delightful lady, and three or four of his assistants. And I was trying to show him what he needed to be doing because he was a guest auctioneer. Mm-hmm. And taking him around to the various tables and explaining. And the whole time Nellie was saying, hey, John, look at this. Why don't we get this? This is really nice. And each one of his assistants was telling him, you need to do this. And when you're done, you need to be doing something else. And I was thinking to myself, this is going to be an absolute screw up because he's not going to remember anything. And when we finally said, you're on, he went through it without a flaw. He did everything exactly right. And every other time I've been with him, he could have as much interference as imaginable and then get right back on target. Wow. He got off the airplane one time, and a radio announcer came up to him and said, Governor, we can give you 30 seconds on the news tonight, and held a microphone up to his face, and he spoke for 28 seconds.
You know, it's interesting to see politics today. It's illogical. There's no common sense, you know. I think of JFK, you know, the hero of the Democrat Party. Everybody talks about him and how great he was, and Bobby. And I don't know. I think that they would not be welcome in the Democrat Party anymore. They act, his policies belong more in the Republican Party. You know what I mean? And it's really interesting. The Democrats used to be for the working man. Now, you know, the Republicans, everything's just kind of turned upside down. What's the future of Democrats and the future of Republicans? Are we still going to be on a two-party system? If so, what's the other party going to look like that's not in power currently?
I got to tell you, if I had an answer to that, I would probably be very wealthy, because I've been wondering those exact same things for quite some time now. I keep saying, what is going on? You know, which way do I turn? And I don't have an answer.
Yeah, I know, because we were told for the last 4 years that don't vote for this guy because he's a fascist, he's Hitler. Well, guess what? They just voted in Hitler, and everybody seems to be okay with it. You know,
I wouldn't say everybody from what I've been hearing.
Okay, half of the people, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we won't talk about politics. That's just a
so. I try not to get involved with politics because yes, I was there, and I've had my fill.
Yes, and no matter what you say, no matter what side you're on, you're going to offend half the people.
So, exactly right.
And I don't understand these stars and these musicians and these actors who are purposely, you know, offending half of their fans. I mean, when did that start becoming popular? You know what I mean? I mean, if you're an actor, you want as many fans as possible. If you're a musician and so on. Well, anyway, what are we going to do? Let's talk about some of your more interesting photo assignments.
Oh, well, my very favorite photo assignment was wasn't really a photo assignment. It was I was working with FEMA at the time.
Oh.
It was back in the late 70s, and there had been some serious flooding down in Arizona. And the Navajos had problems. They couldn't get out to the fields with their cattle. So we had Army helicopters dropping hay and all to the stranded cattle. It was called Operation Mudlift.
When was that?
It was called Operation Mudlift.
What year?
It was about 78, I believe.
Really?
Okay. And somebody asked, well, what are you doing about the Hopis? And I said, we haven't heard a word from the Hopis. They said, well, they're having problems too. So I was in a helicopter going up with two other guys from FEMA. We met with the tribal chairman outside of Winslow, Arizona, and took a car up into the Hopi reservation. The Hopis live up on three mesas, about 800 feet above the land.
Wow.
And all their villages are up there, and some of them are radiocarbon dated back over 1,000 years old. Okay? So they've been there a long, long time. And they're made out of adobe, which is basically dry mud. And when it rains heavily, what happens to mud? It tends to get soft. And so a lot of their housing had collapsed. And we were talking with them and said, you know, we can give you help to get rebuilt. And he said, we don't want it. Whenever the government gives us help, HUD comes in and says we have to use the HUD standards. If you look down there on the level land, there's a whole village down there. They're all HUD houses, and nobody lives there, because we all want to be up here with our people.
Mm.
And so we can't do that. And so we worked out a deal where we could give them aid through the State Department as aid to a foreign nation. And I asked the chairman, you know, when you're rebuilding, I'd really love it if I could come out and take some pictures and document what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. If that's part of the deal, keep your money. We don't want it. I said, that's not part of the deal. We want you to be able to do what you need to do, so do it. About a month and a half later, I was back in Washington, and I got a call from the tribal chairman saying, Mr. Williams, if you'd like to come out and take pictures of our document, our restoration, we'd love to have you.
Hmm.
I said, can I be there tomorrow or the next day? I went out and spent a couple weeks with the Navajos. It was fascinating. It was the first white man allowed to photograph on their reservation.
Wow.
And it was really marvelous. I learned a lot. But before I left, I asked the chairman, why did you change your mind? He said, Mr. Williams, in all of our tribal memory, this is the first time the white man has ever made a promise to us and then kept it.
Like that. That is so sad and true. Well, listen, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back. Do not go away.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you, or realizing and using the power of momentum, or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com.
Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to caregiverdave.com and join now. Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Nassani. This is the Caregiver Dave Show. We're talking to Bill Williams. And Bill, you've got some great stories. Is another book coming out soon?
Well, the book will be out in January. It's called 20 Years of Internet Humor. It'll be on Amazon.
That's your first book?
It's volume one.
Okay, so
there will be multiple volumes, but this is the first one.
The very first one. Good for you.
It's available on Amazon. It'll be available on Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and all the regular sources.
When do you think?
We're looking at mid-January right now.
Mid-January. Do you have, are you on the pre-purchase program where they can pre-purchase it?
Well, they can't pre-purchase it till they actually have it in their files. But,
I see.
Unfortunately, that's just the way this particular publisher is working. But right. We will have a pre-launch, a week pre-launch where people will be able to come in and buy it at a sharp discount. And we'll be advertising that on my website, not on, on my website and through all the emails I send out. So people need to get on my email list.
How many thoughts will be in that first volume?
It's right around 200. It's 378 pages.
Wow, that's good. So you got the cover design and everything?
Cover design was approved last Monday.
So what's it look like?
Well, we use the Janus image. If you recall, Janus is the Roman god with two faces.
Uh-huh.
And we use him because we have some funny and some serious. And he's carrying a laptop. So it is a cover that fits right in with most of the humor books. So, it's interesting.
Well, I wonder if you can, maybe, if you have a book in front of you, maybe read a couple more.
I'd be glad to.
Get a flavor of what this book's about.
Okay. Well, there was a new teacher in town, and he was a former Marine Corps sergeant. He took a job as a school teacher after he retired. And before the school year started, he injured his back. And had to wear a plaster cast around the upper part of his body under his clothes. Fortunately, the cast fit under his shirt and wasn't really noticeable. On the first day of class, he found himself assigned to the toughest kids in the school. They were the most disruptive punks, and they heard this new teacher was a former Marine, and they were a little bit leery of him. They decided they wanted to find out how tough he really was. Well, he walked into the rowdy classroom. He opened a window wide and sat down at his desk, and a strong wind came in and blew some papers and his tie up and all. So he took his stapler, put the tie on his chest, and stapled the tie to his chest. He had no problems with the kids after that.
That is great. You got another one?
Well, yeah. You know, if you've ever been to a wedding, the bride typically wears white. And this little boy asked his mom, "Why do brides wear white?" And she says, "Well, it's because it's showing everybody how pure she is." He says, "Oh, okay." So he went to check it with his dad and said, "Dad, why do brides always wear white?" He said, "Well, son, all kitchen appliances come in white."
That's funny. What would you like to talk about that we have not discussed yet? And remembering that my audience are burned out caregivers.
Well, your burned out caregivers might like to get my thought for the day. It's free. All they have to do is go to my website and sign up for it, and it'll start the next day.
It's really, internet, that easy, huh?
It's internet-humor.com.
Internet-humor.com.
Right.
Very good. And so, I want to go back to your bio, because it's very, very interesting. Let me read this again here. military brat, growing up on the Air Force bases, went to 13 schools before graduation. Did that have a negative effect on you growing up? Are you permanently scarred by any of that?
The answer is yes and no. First of all, I have to say I wouldn't trade my background for anybody's, okay? Because it was so informative, and I grew up in the Deep South. I grew up on the West Coast. I grew up in the Northeast, you know, and thoroughly loved every place I was. The drawback was I never had any friends, because as soon as I made a friend, I was moving away. And
wouldn't want to change anything, but you wouldn't want to go through it again.
For that very reason, I'm living in Ohio. We left Washington, D.C. because I had two young daughters. One was less than a year old. That's when I got out of photography. And I moved back to Ohio because my wife had family and friends in where we are in Perrysburg. And I wanted my kids to be able to grow up with friends and relatives around them and have a hometown, which I never did. And I don't regret that move a bit. You know, they don't have the traveling experience that I did, but I think it's more important that they had friends that they still can call friends 30 years later.
Yeah, our new vice president comes from Ohio. Is Ohio a nice place to be raised?
Ohio is very, very pleasant. It has lots to offer. It has the reputation of having more people who have not moved more than 50 miles away from their birthplace than any other state in the nation, which surprises me. Yeah, I enjoy it. I didn't think I was going to like it when I came here. Actually, what brought me here was that I was offered a job at a new TV station at Bowling Green State University. I was in Austin, Texas at the time, and I thought, Bowling Green, I've always wanted to live in the mountains. Then when I got to Bowling Green, Ohio, which I had never heard of, I discovered it was as flat as where I was living in West Texas. It's just that there were more trees.
Mm-hmm. So how is it that you taught at five universities, and what did you teach at all those places? And you have a teaching credential or no?
Well, with universities, you don't really need a teaching credential. You just need the degrees. And I was teaching, I've taught public address. I've taught television production, radio production. At the University of Maryland, I taught advanced TV news production. I've taught insurance. I've taught annuities. I've taught financial planning at the American University for financial professionals. So at the University of Texas in Austin, I was managing a 4-city closed-circuit television network. It was the first closed-circuit instructional thing that went to more than one university. We hit 7 different universities with that place.
Wow. Listen, we're up on another break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use and read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you, or realizing and using the power of momentum, or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life 2 today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life 2 is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
We're back on a final break, Caregiver Dave Show. I'm Dave Nassani with my guest, Bill Williams. And I want to talk about, some of the things you've done. You produce some award-winning films and video productions. I mean, you've got quite a lot of accolades on your resume here. I love films, and I've made my very first film when I was a teenager in a communications class in high school. It was about my dog, how he was a drug pusher, and he was selling drugs to everybody. And it was a really, really cute film because my dog was very well trained, and I directed him really good, and he followed directions really good. And who knows, one day that film will make it to a film festival, but not going to hold my breath. But a filmmaker also made a film of my life, I and my wife's life together, and we call it Celebrity Caregiver. And it was just accepted to one of the film festivals in Montana, of all places. And so who knows what that's going to bring. But I love the fact that you are an award-winning film and video production. Tell us about that, some of the things you did with that.
Well, one of the first ones that I won an award with was called Tinker. And Tinker. I found an 80-year-old blacksmith in rural Ohio, and I did an interview with him about what life was like as a blacksmith when he was actively doing it. And, you know, making horseshoes was his favorite thing, but he made all sorts of tools and plows and you name it. He was one of the most important people in the town. And then in order to actually illustrate it, we went to a big theme park here in Ohio, where they had a blacksmith shop. And we got a guy who was an actual blacksmith to actually be doing some of the things that the old man was talking about.
Oh.
And then it wound up with the statement of him walking out of his closed, dusty shop saying, "I think I miss shoeing horses most." And it was about a 12-minute film, and it won awards in New York. It won awards in Chicago at the Virgin Islands Film Festival, all over the place. But one of the things I'm proudest of was a project for the Postal Service. They asked me to, the question was, what can we do to sell more stamps? The only way you can sell stamps is to have stamps not being used. So I said, what we need to do is create more stamp clubs. The best way to do that is do it with kids when they're young. So what we need to do is to create a educational program that can be used in schools to encourage kids to collect stamps. So I came up with the idea of a film strip series called American History on Stamps and put it together in a package with all sorts of instructional materials for the teachers to use, a lot of things for them to do, and showing them how American history was taught through stamps.
Mm.
And they said, this is really great. If you could sell 1,500 of these to the teachers around the country, we'll consider it an outstanding success. They sold 25,000.
Wow. So they made up some different stamps that were never made before?
No. These were actual stamps. We used stamps from the National Stamp Museum, which is part of the Postal Service.
And they can reprint them because that was their goal.
Not to reprint them, but we photographed them and used them in some of the illustrations to show how they were done.
But they wanted to sell more stamps. Did they reach that goal?
Well, they had the kids collecting stamps, okay? And so they were selling the new stamps, okay, the commemorative stamps.
I see.
And that was another project I had for them, was to get more publicity for the commemorative stamps that came out. And one of them, the Robert Frost stamp, which was a 10-cent stamp, I got more publicity on that than anything they'd ever done, because they'd been sending out these stamps on 30-second film reels. Having worked at a TV station, I knew the guys who were running the film units had to staple all or glue all these film strips together. So I said, instead of sending out a 30-second spot, why don't you send out a 90-second spot so they can get three? One film will last longer than three shorter ones, and they'll use it a lot more. And they got like 500% more use out of that one 90-second spot than they did out of any of their 30-second spots. And that one spot got more use than all the others.
That is amazing. What other films have you made?
Things that you would have absolutely no interest in. Things like the government industry data exchange program and how to repair the gun sight on an F-110 and, you know, all sorts of government films. You know, I've had to take cruises on Navy ships to do research for the scripts, and it's been very interesting.
Yeah. So, being accepted in some film festivals, what good came from that? I mean, other than, you know, the recognition, they recognize my film. I mean, did that open any doors for you? Because, you know, I'm in that position now. There are film festivals that may be accepting ours. Well, what good does it really do to win a film festival? What difference does it make?
Makes you feel good. In all honesty, that's about it.
That's about
If you are doing commercial films or doing films professionally, yes, it's a great thing on your resume. Does it make you any money? No, it costs money to enter the festivals. It costs money to go down. It costs money to do all that stuff. But you meet some of the most marvelous people at these festivals.
And now, you do hear that some people, you know, you're watching this new film. It says, this came from a film festival. So, I mean, every now and then, a film goes to the top, right?
That's true. And, you know, if you're looking at, commercial films, theatrical films, yes, winning a film award will get more audience there. But for the industrial films, the educational films, it really doesn't really build sales, all that much. Maybe a little bit. But basically, it's a kudo on your resume and your sales tools.
Well, I can't believe how fast our time has gone. Where can people get a hold of you again? I know you gave a website before, but when your book comes out, you know, if they want to maybe ask you some questions or maybe ask them how they can get involved or read your book, what's your website again?
They can reach me at bill@internet-humor.com. That's my email address. That's my website. And that's where they can sign up for the thought for the day.
Awesome. Any last minute thoughts before we say goodbye?
Keep smiling. Everybody needs to laugh every day.
Love that song that Charlie Chaplin wrote. Right, about smile with your hearts. Can't remember the words.
Well, but you got the right start, so that's what counts.
That was during the Depression when you had a lot to not smile about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. Had a great time chatting with you. And again, if somebody wants to get a bunch of interesting thoughts for the day, all they got to do is go to you and they'll get them the next day.
That'll do it.
Secrets from the Hammock is Dave Nassani's new book. This gives you many secrets on how to navigate life in an easy-to-use-and-read format. Imagine forgiving those that hurt you or realizing and using the power of momentum or discovering the hardest part of love and how to overcome it. Get this and more info with Secrets from the Hammock by Dave Nassani. Get your copy now. Available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. That's Secrets from the Hammock. And relax. Dave's got you covered. Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing.